Welcome to Teacher Quit Talk. I'm Miss Redacted.
And I'm Mrs. Frazzled. Every week we explore the teacher exodus to find out what, if anything, could get these educators back in the classroom.
We've all had our moments where we thought, what the hell am I doing here? From burnout to bureaucracy to soul-sucking stressors and creative dead ends.
From recognizing when it was time to go to navigating feelings of guilt and regret afterwards, we're here to cut out the gaslighting and get real about what it means to leave teaching.
We've got insights from former teachers from all over the country who have seen it all. So get ready to be disturbed. Join us on Teacher Quit Talk to laugh through the pain of the U.S. education system. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Дамы и господа, добро пожаловать в Prevail. Это второй сезон нашей борьбы с криминальными сволочами. Ваш ведущий Грегор О'Лиар.
I'm Greg O'Lear. This is Prevail. Welcome to the program. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Prevail. For 10% off your first month, go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/Greg. Start living a better life today. We've got a great show. The journalist, author, lawyer, and Canadian, Mark Borey, is here. He was a journalist for a long time. He's written 11 books, including one called Kill the Messenger, Stephen Harper's Assault on Your Right to Know. Stephen Harper being the conservative prime minister of Canada, the guy that was there before Justin Trudeau came along. And Mark is living in Ottawa. So he has seen up close and personal what's going on with this so-called freedom convoy. Unfortunately, this is a story that has not gone away. I don't know that it's escalating, but it's still happening. And it is something that has ramifications to us here in the United States. You know, the people that are backing this certainly are people that are American. There, you know, there have been reports of dark money pouring in from, you know, the United States, the same crew. And these are people that are being hailed as heroes by the likes of Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, of course. And I think Elon Musk was giving the thumbs up. These people, I don't even want to call them truckers. I don't want to dignify them with such a word like that, because it's a disparagement to truckers who are out there doing an honest day's work. These guys are provocateurs, and they're just dicks. When you hear what Mark has to say about what they've been doing, I mean, they're just selfish fucking assholes. That's it. That's what they are. And to think that these guys can do what they've done and expect anybody to do anything but cart them off to jail is madness. And yet, here we are. It's been 2 weeks or so since this thing started, and it's still going on. I waited until Thursday night to record this introduction to see if this thing was going to go away. And as of 6 o'clock p.m., I guess I haven't looked on Twitter in the last 2 hours, but it's still happening. So we're going to get right to it. Mark has a lot to say. He's going to explain exactly what's going on and who the players are, take us through a little bit of Canadian politics. And in the second part, he really goes into this thing about morality and COVID and democracy that's really fascinating. So I really enjoyed this conversation. You will too. We'll be right back with Mark Borey.
Mother, do you think that Trump will lose? Mother, should we listen to Ted Cruz? Mother, should I go and certify the votes? Ooh, I, Mother, can I be the POTUS? Mother, I'm the Senate President. So mother, just this once, I'm relevant. Mother, do you think they'll leak the evidence? Oh, worse, mother, will they kill Mike Pence? Why is Grassley such an imbecile? Why does Trump keep calling Tuberville? Mother, do you think they really want me dead? Should we still vote red? Mother, did it have to be so dumb?
Mark Borey, welcome to the Prevail Podcast.
Hi.
Nice to have you today. Lots going on in Canada.
Lots going on in Canada sounds like a total contradiction in terms, but especially the 7th of February in Canada. Boy, you know, there's a time when most of the marmots are buried deep in the ground. But what's going on here? Well, we had our own sort of attempt at a January 6th moment and it misfired. I mean, that's really what it's come down to. We had the whole hard right of Canada try to assemble in downtown Ottawa, which is our capital, which is kind of a duckburg of a million people, basically off the beaten track. It's a very odd thing, capital of Canada. And surrounded totally by Canada's version of West Virginia, sort of the archies of Canada live around Ottawa, lots to draw in. So they were going to come and they were going to force the government to basically be dissolved by the Queen. You know, we're really talking about very high level political thinking here, and then the leaders, air quotes, of these truckers, air quotes, and the Queen's representative in Canada were going to sit down and run the country together. Now, as you may have heard, that's not happening.
I was going to say, this hasn't happened yet. It seems like such a good idea. Yeah,
not yet, but it is only Monday. They've been here like 10 days. It's turned into a bit of a winter carnival, which is kind of nice because ours was canceled due to the fact that people here actually take COVID seriously. I have a 22-year-old son who's would like to punch somebody in the head, and that's pretty much the feeling in Ottawa now, that these people have very much overstayed their welcome.
So I want to get to all this. I want to talk about it in detail, but before we do,
let's unpack it.
Yeah, unpack it exactly. First, tell it. I'm going to cover this in the intro, but tell people a little bit about you, because you wrote for a long time for the Globe and Mail, for the Toronto Star. You've written 14 books.
Yeah, I'm a walking ad for carpal tunnel syndrome therapy, but I'm in my decrepitude and declining years, I actually went to law school after teaching university for a while, and so I'm a lawyer too. So I'm a lawyer who writes books. Most of my books have hidden sort of messages about capitalism or fascism. Some of them have subtle titles like "Kill the Messengers," "Stephen Harper's Assault on Your Right to Know." Stephen Harper was our last Conservative Prime Minister, so people can sort of parse out that title and see that maybe I don't like the hard right, particularly in Canada.
There is a little bit of a clue. It's like almost like a magic eye. Like you have to look at it really closely, but eventually the pattern does pop out.
Yeah, you have to know that. If you have the decoder ring,
yeah,
you're off to the races. Talking about racists, we have had Confederate flags. I think Stephen Colbert noted that these guys want to break away from the United States, something we've been able to do. And in fact, that was always my fear during your Trump interregnum, was that they would notice us someday. And unfortunately, they have. Because to stop joking about it for a second, this thing, this truckers' protest, this basically it's maybe 12 blocks of the of downtown Ottawa jammed with semi-abandoned trucks is being financed by American dark money. And I mean, I'm not being paranoid about this. GoFundMe, shut them down, shut down the fundraising at $10 million, which had been raised over the period of a week or so. A lot of American money there, but GoFundMe said that this breached their terms of service. Now you've got these Solons, these Jeffersonian thinkers like DeSantis and Cruz and who's the more that's the governor of Texas. Anyway,
Reagan
all these
Abbott.
Clowns are all these clowns are saying they're going to dig into to see how American free expression and financing of this has been thwarted. You know, I don't know how DeSantis and Abbott and the rest of these morons would feel if Canadians started shooting down money to jam up Tallahassee or Austin, right? Our parliament building has got its back to the river, so it's really easy to block it. If you put cars in front of it or trucks or whatever, you can't get around it or anything. So this is a big pain in the ass for people downtown. And like I said, it's been supported for 10 days. These people have been fed. They've got fuel. They've brought in bouncy castles for the kids because, hey, you know, bring your kid to somewhere that may end up with tear gas, right?
Yeah.
And they've got lawyers now, and they've done this with the arrogance of stupid people with money.
Well, it's definitely the same kind of Mike Flynn type crowd that's financing this. So that's what I've been able to glean from this side. And I'm going to apologize on behalf of all Americans for our dumb American money going up there, and for any American truckers that are participating. However,
we sent you Justin Bieber, so we're even.
No, you sent us Ted Cruz.
Oh, we sent. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We like Bieber.
You know, how can that guy run for president? You know, really. Anyway, okay.
All right, but let's go back.
There's something about the Calgary water.
Let's go back for a second. You talked a little bit at the beginning about what these guys are demanding about the Queen. So what I want to know is, what's the deal with the Queen and Canada? Obviously, her face is on all the money, and it's part of the Commonwealth. How much power does she have, really, there?
None.
Okay.
None. And let me just sort of walk you through how this works. You have a president who has the final sort of signing authority with real power. That basically makes him sort of the head of state. We have chosen in a way to not have a head of state. We have a head of government, and then we have somebody who performs all of the mundane ceremonial functions that the president does. So our prime minister doesn't greet the Boy Scouts, and our prime minister doesn't greet every ambassador who comes and hand out ribbons and all that kind of stuff. We have this, what's called a governor general, who's the Queen's representative in Canada, who does all of the ceremonial side of government, and the real power exists in the prime minister's office. Now, the only time the Queen or her delegate, who's a woman named Mary Simons, who's an Indigenous woman, could ever use any power is if there was an absolute tie or something. So, sort of the same power that the vice president has in the Senate, to decide who forms a government. That's all. If we had an election and we go by seats, the person who's the leader of the party with the most seats in the equivalent of our Congress becomes the prime minister. If it was a dead tie or something, then she would make the call. That's it. They don't fire anybody. Governor General of Australia fired a prime minister years ago for being corrupt, but that was it. So this is just crazy talk. This is like somebody coming in and saying that they've got some special secret piece of paper that says that in the Articles of Confederation of, 1778, there's this clause that overrides the Constitution, and we're going to pull out this 12B clause, and we're going to fire the president, blah, blah, blah. It's insane. And it's almost, it's freeman of the land talk.
Do you have the equivalent of a dead politician's son who's supposed to come back from the dead to, because we have that. We have all the crazy that you just described, the JFK Jr. business we have here.
That's what we have as prime minister already.
He was next on my list, but of topics to talk about. So,
we don't have anything like that. The QAnon, we do have somebody who calls herself the Queen of Canada, who's backed by QAnon. And she did show up at Parliament Hill last week with about 100 followers and a weird flag. Now, that got everybody scratching their head. Even the people involved in the protests were like, what's going on here? But so if you just imagine that every nutter in Canada who thinks they're going to get paid to be here, because this is what this $10 million was for, actually showed up, which they did, waving any kind of thing you can think of, which is fine. I mean, that's all free expression. It's all free speech. You know, protest. I've been in Ottawa for 27 years. I have seen everybody protest here. You can get a crowd for anything. Where these guys went too far, and I know I'm all over the place, but I'm all whacked out of prednisone right now. So anyway, where these guys went too far is that they've been blasting their horns on their trucks for 10 days. Now, the downtown of Ottawa, we're not talking about Washington here. We're talking about a city that has like a minimal downtown of a few high-rise office buildings, which are all empty because everybody's working at home for COVID. And then behind that are houses and apartments full of students, full of some government workers, a lot of homeless people in Ottawa. Two big shelters are in this area where the horns are being blasted. So these people have had no sleep for 10 days. These people with mental illness, people who, you know, are victims of homelessness, women in a shelter for abused women are being put through more abuse by these horns. It's a very mixed income community without very many real rich people in it who are bearing the brunt of this assault on them. They've left the rich areas alone. They've left the actual parts of town where the government people live alone. And they're just putting the screws to our gay village. A lot of people of color, a lot of, like I said, students, sort of low and middling level government workers. My daughter, who's married to a guy who works in a long-term care center kitchen there, is at home with a seven-month-old baby's teething. You know, they haven't got sleep because of this thing. It's just, you know what it is? It's abusive behavior.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's what an abusive man would do. It's like, oh, we're not, I'm just speaking to you. And somebody asked me, you know, what about the free expression rights? And I said, well, your free expression right, your free speech right, we call it free expression rights in here. And I'm following you, the lawyer talk, but your free expression right does not involve you having the right to come into my bathroom while I'm on the toilet and scream at me. And that's basically the level of discourse that we've got here. It's people trying to sleep, people trying to work, people trying to rest, people trying to have some personal space, and these guys just blaring. Now, there may be a break in this. There may be an injunction to stop it. I'm not sure what the terms are. I know that the judges agreed to something. Last I heard that they were working with the wording of how it was going to be. But this, again, really was supposed to be their January 6th moment. And it's going to end with it dribbling away, I hope.
What now? I don't understand what exactly they hope to achieve. I mean, at least with January 6th, we knew what they were trying to do. They were trying to basically kill the vice president and the Speaker of the House, maybe. Or if not that, menace them enough that they would put the vote into question. And delegitimize the peaceful transfer of power. What exactly do these truckers want? Why are they here now?
Okay. I would say a week ago Friday, they thought that they would get a big enough crowd that they really could force the government to resign and force an election. Now, our elections don't have fixed dates. Our government, our prime minister can go to the governor general and say, I need an election or I'm going to resign. And you can ask the leader of the second largest party to try to form a government, get the support of parliament. I think they had visions of themselves actually going inside the chamber. Our security is, you know, probably not much better than the Capitol's on January 6th. I think they expected a lot more people and they didn't get them. They got a good sized crowd, but I think they expected 10 times the number. They said they'd have 50,000 trucks. They don't have anywhere near that. So, okay, that's what they wanted, I think, in the beginning. Then they decided that they wanted an end to all COVID mandates, no masks, no in schools or work or anywhere. Now, that gets into something, a jurisdictional thing, because it's like as if somebody had an issue with the states, with one of the states or all the individual states in the United States, and then went to Washington to demand it. Because all of our COVID mandates are done by our provinces, which are basically our states. Right. So they're at the wrong place for that. Then it became everything. It became, there are people there saying that Justin Trudeau is Castro's illegitimate son and stuff. I mean, every kind of crazy. So you can't, if you wanted to, which you shouldn't, you can't negotiate with people like this simply because they no longer have any demands. And then when they were hauled into court today, the leaders of them, their lawyers said, well, they don't really lead anything. So they don't have any leaders. So it's just basically a white privilege Coachella, you know, it's mouth breather Woodstock, but not the good Woodstock. What was the ones that came after it? You know, if you could just think of every asshole you ever saw nursing a coffee with a gripe, they're all in Ottawa right now. All the Canadian versions of that.
That's what I was going to say. It's asshole palooza. You know,
it's asshole palooza. That's exactly what it is. And so what do you do about it? Now, another thing is that these guys, you know, they're guys mostly, so they're sort of lower middle class, not well educated, white, middle-aged by and large, and they very closely resemble the demographics of the police. And there's been a real fear in Ottawa that the reason the police didn't enforce things like traffic laws, parking laws, noise laws. You can't go around blasting your horn. We actually have a law against that in our highway traffic laws. The reason they didn't do that was because these guys have an affinity for the truckers. That the truckers are like like members of their family, like the guys they grew up with, like their buddies. And people started posting videos of Ottawa cops high-fiving these guys. Ottawa cops saying, yeah, they're gonna have to listen to you. Look how many of you there are. Cops that were clearing the way so that people could deliver diesel fuel in gas cans so that they could keep these trucks idling. And that's another thing, is the filthy as hell. The air is disgusting around there. And I really do believe that there's a feeling at the Ottawa City Hall that if the cops were told to clear them out the way that they've cleared out people of color, Black Lives Matter, people, we had an Idle No More, which is Indians that were camped downtown who were all brutally, and I'm talking like, you know, clubbed and hauled, that they would not do anything like that with these guys. You know, and then there was a video posted the other on Saturday of a situation Friday where the cops were trying to get these guys to move, and they just basically pushed the cops back. So we're seeing here a real example. If anybody ever wants to do a lecture on white privilege, this is it. This is the ultimate white privilege experience for Canada, where there's a park in Toronto called Trinity Bellwoods. So Toronto is a big enough city that maybe some Americans have heard of it. but it has this park. The park is in sort of mixed neighborhood, mostly poor neighborhood. It's quite a big park. And in the middle of the park is a recreation center with a pool and all kinds of stuff. So a bunch of homeless people started camping out there in the summer. And near the end of the summer, the Toronto Police Riot Squad came in and they just literally tore that place apart. And so when people here see what's going on and see that nothing's being done, it sends a very clear message. Well, several clear messages. One is you can get away with this sort of stuff if you're the right color and the right class, that the next group of people will know what to do who want to pull this off. The next group of white privileged people, just get the idea out that you might be armed. That's something that's been part of the teeth of this, is the cops are saying, well, we don't know what kind of guns they have. Did they bring some up from the States? Did they, Canadians aren't exactly unarmed either. That's a bit of a myth, but we have rifles, not pistols, right? So that's been a big, big thing here. So it's, if you're Black, if you're young, if you're poor, if you're homeless, if you're unarmed, you are going to last about an hour in one of our parks. But if you're one of these guys, you know, you're here for 10 days. Now, there are probably people more conservative than us listening to this or watching this. And I'm going to run through some things that they did that should appall everybody. They were dancing on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is literally a grave out near about a half a block from the Parliament building. They climbed on the National War Memorial, which is a sort of granite thingy with beautiful bronze statuary of World War I soldiers basically going through the gate and symbolizes going to heaven, right? And these guys are like climbing all over that. They went to a homeless shelter and they demanded food. These truckers demanded food that was handed over by the homeless shelter. Through this thing, they've actually literally been pissing on the war memorial. Somebody went to jail for that a few years ago, but when conservatives demanded that this person be charged, they have thrown rocks or bricks or whatever through the windows of coffee shops that have rainbow flags in them. Not any of the more conservative folks will mind that too much. There's a guy named Terry Fox who ran across Canada in the 80s, trying to run across Canada, raise money for cancer. There's a movie, I think it might be on American Netflix, certainly all over YouTube. He had lost a leg. He had this prosthetic leg.
I remember that when it was on the first time, like in the 80s.
He was, he got halfway across the country. He's a beautiful guy. And he couldn't finish it and he died. There's a statue to him right in front of the Parliament building. I mean, this is a guy who everybody in Canada is proud of. He raised millions of dollars alive and dead for cancer research. They decorated him up with all kinds of their signs and their MAGA hats and stuff like that. So, you know, they, and then there's the honking. There's the, they didn't have any, because they didn't plan this thing properly and they didn't get a permit, they weren't allowed to put sort of porta potties or anything, and all the restaurants downtown closed, so there was no place to go to the bathroom. So they just started using anything, doorways, people's front porches, especially in the gay neighborhoods. People are finding all kinds of delightful things in front of their houses and on their front porches. Just the most loudish, disgusting behavior, way more than anybody should put up with. So I think they deserve quite a bit of scorn, and it's this ability to dehumanize people who live in another town just because that town is a government town per se, and then just come in and treat them like shit, that I find quite appalling. And then they get on Twitter on you know, fake names or whatever and talk tough. And, you know, you just want to find out where they live and go lay on the horn at their place, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? But I have other things to do with my time anyway.
Right, which they don't. I mean, I think they're, you know, they're provocateurs. That's a fancy word for being a dick in this way. But, yeah, you know, they're clearly trying to push buttons and to piss people off. And
but this has worked to the point where I can see this happening in the States.
Yeah.
You know, I can see this happening, especially in the West or in states where you have, you know, a democratic state government and a lot of yokels who are not happy with it. And I don't know American state politics well enough to start naming them off, but I could see like, you know, trucker convoys in smaller states that have small city capitals, you know, like Springfield or Austin or Tallahassee or whatever. And all you need to do is tie up 10, 15 blocks around the downtown if the police let that happen.
Right.
Now, in Toronto, the cops didn't let this happen on the weekend and they're already gone. Truckers came, the cops made the park stop far from the Capitol building that they were going to, made them walk. They walked, they protested, they left. They were going to do this in Quebec City. The premier of Quebec said, they're not pulling this shit here. They started like going over the trucks for safety violations, you know, because a lot of the lights don't work. Mm-hmm. A lot of the brakes could use a little work. They started firing their asses off and they're gone from there. So we're still stuck with them in Ottawa. But if you had a state government that was sort of wishy-washy on these guys or like them, they could actually engineer these kind of crises for their own benefit. And I think they will.
Oh, I think maybe this is a testing ground. I mean, it goes back, what I was trying to ask before is what the purpose is. And maybe that is the purpose. Maybe the purpose is just to see what works and what doesn't work and what they can get away with. Because, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, any kind of city that has, you know, they could... Anybody could foul up New York City with a couple trucks. I mean, if they were bound and determined to do it, I don't think that New York would let it fly. But you know, to name one place,
I think you're right. This is they'll pick things that work, things that don't. And they'll pick their place carefully. I think someplace like New York City, you start, you blocked, you know, Broadway and Fifth Avenue with trucks and farm tractors, it would just be a big payday for New York City tow truck operators.
Yeah.
But
good luck getting the truck back.
There are places in America where this might happen. There are places where people might be a little too lenient on them too, like say Sacramento or someplace like that. So, you know, it will become, I think, part of the toolkit of these morons as we head towards 2024, as we keep, you know, like it, this sort of thing. Okay, so Ottawa is, and Canada, we have the same stuff going on with different people, you know, different players, same game, right? But it kind of kept quiet. We had an election last fall, you know, didn't settle a lot. It was, but it was peaceful, except for some morons throwing gravel at the prime minister. But these guys want to cleave our situation. They want to split it wide open and have the same kind of polarization in Canada as there is in the States. And of course, in the end, deliver our government to the same kind of neo-fascists that we see in the Trump camp, you know, in Hungary, in in Ukraine, hate to say Belarus, you know, the whole IDU thing that our former prime minister, Stephen Harper, the guy I wrote the book about as being a fascist in 2014, is head of the International Democracy Union, the IDU. And he's been up pushing these guys, you know, all over the developed and semi-developed world. This is, they want to see us go down the same road that they want to see you guys go down in 2024. And that's, you know, when I sort of made the quip about, I hope they hadn't noticed us, I really meant that. They have noticed us. We're on the map. We are the 51st state that they want to take over, our federal government. They've already got our provincial governments are swinging pretty hard to the right. The left in this country has to get its shit together really fast and find ways to communicate with working class people and people who have the concerns of the same kind of people that appeal to Trump, people who, you know, don't see any future for their kids, don't see any future for themselves, have seen their union wages gone, even though they don't seem to make the connection that maybe they should get the union back, seen their jobs go, see knowledge, technology take over that they're not trained for, they don't fit in. We have all that here. But if the left cannot pick up those issues and deal with them, then these people are the only dynamic game in town.
It's scary stuff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mark Burry.
You know, we had a lot of snow this week here in upstate New York, and I did not shovel the driveway properly this time. I thought my son was going to do it. He didn't do it. And what happened was it froze a lot, and now I cannot get a foot of snow out of the middle of my driveway. So this is the sort of thing you have to avoid, right? You get your car tuned up because you don't want to have big issues down the road. You get annual checkups so they nip things in the bud. And it's like that with mental health too. Going to therapy is like that. It's routine maintenance for your mental and emotional wellness to prevent bigger issues down the road, to prevent the mental health equivalent of frozen ice in the driveway of your mind. You know, these are trying times right now, guys. This is, you know, we've been traumatized for the last 5 years, and mental health is really, really, really important. So it's just essential, I think, for everybody to spend a little bit of time and a little bit of money to focus on their mental health. Going to therapy doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you're investing in yourself to keep your mind healthy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not in your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Prevail listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Greg. That's BETTERHELP.com/GREG. BetterHelp.
Okay, we're back with Mark Burry. Liberals in the United States, we like to look at Canada as some kind of libtopia, right? Especially during the Trump years, we all thought like well, if you know, if everything goes to shit, we can always just go to Canada. That's the mindset of a lot of people in this country. And so when we look to Canada and see this, it freaks us all out. I'm just going to say we don't like it. And we hope that that the left does get its shit together, as you say. So my question is, are there allies in the government right now, in the Canadian government, to what the truckers are doing?
Yes. So our Liberal Party, we're very clear about our the players are here. Our Liberal Party is basically not talking to these guys. And our Liberal Party is the party in power, and it has what used to be called Teenage Jesus, Justin Trudeau, as prime minister. He is the son of God, and he was born on Christmas Day.
Oh, I didn't know. Is he really born on Christmas Day?
Yes, he was. And his brother was, too.
Huh.
Okay. So we have them in power, but they don't have a majority of the seats in Parliament. The second highest in seat count is the Conservative Party. Again, they hide their light under a bushel. They were playing footsie with these guys to the point where their wishy-washy leader wouldn't shit or get off the pot about whether they supported them, and they threw him out last Wednesday. They threw out the leader of this party. He will not get another shot at being prime minister when we have another election. They replaced him immediately with a Western Canadian, which is, we have sort of a Texas type, wannabe Texans in Alberta and Saskatchewan, which are our flat, people come from flatland and to be quite strange. And so they've got one of these flatland hillbillies to be their interim leader, and they're going to have a leadership race. This is a party that's been drifting harder and harder to the right and is going to have a very hard time ever forming government, I think. Then we have a party called the New Democrats, which was the Democratic Socialist Party, doesn't seem to stand for much of anything anymore except being kind of cool.
Yeah, we have that, yeah.
This is a party that used to push for co-ops, used to really push hard for private sector unions, spoke on regional issues, was just basically, you know, kicking ass and taking names kind of left-wing party. And now I see it as a party of grad students, you know.
Yeah.
They don't real poor people are. The guy who is the head of the party is a millionaire, Sikh guy from Windsor who looks really cool, and who does a lot of TikTok, but he ain't connecting with the guys with the truckers. Like, this is not a left wing leader who's going to go out and tell the truckers what they really need to do is form a union, so that they can start getting paid decently and have some of the abuses that are taking place in our trucking industry finally dealt with. Because Canadian truckers are actually making about half the money that they used to make because the trucker unions have been broken. Trucking companies have colluded to drive rates down, licensing and other aspects of the regulatory system have been stripped to make it easier for this to happen. Where is our left-wing party? So those are the three major parties, plus one from Quebec that wants Quebec independence, and they're not supporting the truckers either. So,
just to name names where we said that the conservative leader who got ousted is named, I correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron O'Toole, right? Is that
a fine name for this man? And he looks like like Elmer Fudd. He's kind of a malevolent Elmer Fudd.
And it's spelled E-R-I-N. I thought, reading it, I didn't, without the picture, I thought it was a woman this whole time. Sorry.
This guy tried to be all things to all people and ended up being nothing to anybody. But the problem with this Conservative Party is it's actually an amalgamation of a Trumpist-type party that used to exist called the Reform Party, and the old money Conservative Party, which was what you would think of as a Canadian Conservative Party, literally descended from the elite that moved up from the States because they couldn't handle living in America after the revolution. That's literally where this party comes from, right?
Okay.
So Trumpists and private school people trying to work together as a party, and poor old Aaron with, you know, about half a clue, did some time in the Air Force, got paid his way through law school, basically our equivalent of a GI Bill. I went into politics and just ran right into a wall. You know, the Peter Principle at work here. But he's got all these MPs, or members of parliament, who are out there standing with these truckers, posing with them, you know, doing selfies and stuff. Many of whom used to be government ministers before Trudeau beat the Conservatives in 2015, which was a bad thing for my book on Harper, because like sales just died, right? Anyway, So one of the people who's been out there standing with the truckers is also now the front runner to win this new leadership race. It's like a primary thing, but the members of the party will choose, you know, the new leader of their party.
So the Western Canadian woman is named Candace Bergen, which is also confusing.
Oh, I know, it's a riot. So sorry for.
we expect it's a different person. That's all. You know, it's disappointing.
And you see Candace Bergen showing up on trending on Twitter, right? And you don't know which one. I feel sorry for Candace Bergen, who's, I think, it's still fairly left of center. And she actually had some other name, but she divorced her husband. Now she's Candace Bergen. So I'm not quite sure how this worked. This bright woman could not pour piss out of a boot if the directions are written on the heel. Like, she is profoundly stupid. I don't think she has a grade 12 education. Like, it's been very sort of carefully hidden, like what her educational background is, but she didn't go to college or anything. Okay, so lots of smart people don't go to college. I mean, I'm being a little unkind here, but she is stupid.
So she's like Boebert. She's like Lauren Boebert, basically.
Yeah, she speaks like Boebert. She speaks in platitudes and slogans, right? Like, she could never like debate somebody rational thought or takes a thought and expand on it. It's just like a parrot, you know, puking out these slogans and these talking points. But she's their woman, because she did show up with truckers. If you Google her, you'll find a picture of her fairly easily wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
I don't know why these folks don't follow Ted Cruz's lead, because he comes from this part of the world too. And I do believe there's something in the water out there. And just all go to Texas. Now, they even have the whole oil industry thing behind them, because Alberta is a big oil producer. But unlike Texas, it gets its oil from something called the oil sands. It's this weird geological thing where the oil is actually in the dirt, and it's huge. I think it rivals Saudi Arabia, maybe even surpasses Saudi Arabia in terms of how much oil is there. But to get the stuff, you got to do all kinds. It's like, it's way harder than fracking. It's way more expensive. And the Canadian government has basically said, we're not going to subsidize this anymore. Canadian taxpayers have been paying for this for ages, because it was seen as an alternative form of oil back in the oil shock. Now, with climate change, we don't want to do this anymore. That's the rest of Canada. We don't want to pay for this. We don't want to push pipelines through Indian territory like these oil companies want to do. And that's one of the real burns in the ass of these people from the West, is that the Canadian government no longer coddles and no longer wants to subsidize their industry.
What's the difference between Calgary and Alberta? And I mean, not Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton, in terms of like vibe, overall vibe?
I'm not real familiar with them as a person who prefers to go other places that are interesting. Edmonton's the capital, so it has a little more of a left bent. The downtown elects a few people who aren't total troglodytes. Calgary wants to be Dallas.
Okay.
You know, Calgary, you guys walk around with 10-gallon hats on and drive cars with horns on the hoods. I mean, they don't all do, but if you do, no one laughs at you. They have a stampede every year, which is a rodeo, and it's apparently a good party. My wife lived in Calgary for a few years. She wasn't totally ruined, but you know, she's from Vancouver, so that takes a while for that whole West Coast kind of pixie dust to be washed off. but she had a horse and the whole bit, and she had fun out there. But it's really, you know, it's really an extension of the Plains culture in the States, and the oil culture in the States. And it's a hell of a long way from Calgary to Ottawa. You know, it's a lot closer to Montana. It's a lot closer to the Dakotas.
Yeah.
It really is American West. And for a long time, you know, up until 130 years ago, that border was so wide open that people just might as well not been there. And you know, the attitudes of Western Canada are not the same as Eastern Canada. And our country, which is very thinly populated, very large, has sectional problems that really do rival America's, but it doesn't have, it's more likely that our country will fall apart just out of neglect than it will in civil war. Right. Unless these bozos can somehow push us to really hate each other. And that's what they peddle. They peddle hate. There isn't a positive solution that's being addressed. There isn't anything that these people stand for that isn't selfishness. There isn't, you know, they talk Christianity while strong-arming food from the homeless. They talk about patriotism while dancing on the grave of the tomb of at the tomb of the unknown soldier and pissing on the war museum. These are people who have given no thought to anything but themselves and what they can get out of this country, and have given no thought to any to putting anything back into this country.
They're inconsiderate. I mean, in a word, I mean to do that kind of thing, just the blowing the horn all that time is just. Well, it's just
don't you think in America and Canada that COVID has been a morality test? That the whole thing has been a morality test to say, well, how much you really care about old people? How much you really care about your fellow human being? How much you really care about the poor? How much you really willing to do? You know, you can say what you like, right? But if you won't wear a mask to help save someone from bringing COVID into an old folks home and killing off a floor or two of the, you know, I guess, you know, that $30 a month at Christmas from grandma wasn't really that big a deal. Like, we're seeing so many people who call themselves Christian who have not a speck of Christian morality, who have no charity, you know, who have no hope for the future at all. We have seen greed. We've seen greed win constantly. Yeah. We've seen corporate billionaires become richer. We've seen like liars become prosper from their lies and never be called on their lies. And we just see this huge lack of community spirit and charity. And people would say, well, you know, during the war, America came together. You know, I had like four great uncles that went overseas in the Pacific, and I have, you know, fairly strong roots in the States. And we have the same myth in Canada that when times get tough, America pulls together. Well, America didn't pull together. Nope. Canada didn't pull together. Britain didn't pull together. It's shattering a whole bunch of myths. And I think when this is over and people can calm down and the prednisone wears off or whatever, and the stress of COVID, because everybody starts out at a stress level, you know, up into the orange, right, with COVID. And then you add honky horns on it. You can imagine how people in Ottawa feel. But when all this is over, I think that maybe in the next decade, we need to take an inventory of what we have become as a Western society and take it with a view of history behind us. Like what people have paid in blood and in money for us to get the democracy that we have that can work, that we know can work. And is something that's not perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better than anything anybody else has come up with. And what it takes for us to be citizens in that kind of democracy, and how much we're willing to give to that and understand that we don't always deserve a break today and that we're not always worth it, you know, and that maybe sometimes we got to give till it hurts. I know I'm getting preachy about this.
No, but I think it's a good point. It's a good point about.
But when I look at that selfishness down there, I'm down there is downtown and I'm waving my hands in the, towards downtown Ottawa. But when I see that, there's nothing but selfishness. Like when you steal from the fucking homeless and the mentally ill because you think you have the right to go anywhere you want without a COVID mask, you weren't brought up very well. You know, it's
a moral failing.
It is a moral failing, and I'm not sure where it's come from because I don't think Trump and all these people invented it. They just found it.
No. Now, Trump amplified it. He didn't create it. It was already there. Yeah.
He amplified it. But where did it come from? And, you know, I think we need to talk a lot about that and how we raise children and how we look at things like empathy and how psychopaths now have a ticket to ride. You know, they really do get to do what they like. I mean, Trump is a narcissistic psychopath, sociopath. Everybody knows it. It's clear as a bell. Boris Johnson is a narcissistic sociopath. Mm-hmm. That's clear as a bell. And, you know, it's not shits and giggles anymore with these guys. And, you know, for people who have any integrity and empathy and morality to go up against these people, I think it's almost physically impossible, because they will tear you apart emotionally. They will come after you with Steve Bannons and the little sort of Bannonettes that we have in Canada who are now doxing people. I'm a lawyer, and I'm getting all these things on Twitter from people who are being who are telling me they're being threatened with legal action by these truckers, right? And I'm, you know, saying, okay, I will defend you pro bono. I will defend you pro bono. If you get something, give it to me. Talking them off the ledge. But that's what happens when you have these bullies, like I said, these sociopaths, who have been given free rein and who need to be brought back within the boundaries of a civilized society somehow. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's going to have to be done, or we're fucked.
It's interesting. I've been kind of waiting for the moment when, you know, what you talked about, oh, America's going to come together, Canada's going to come together. People who are good inherently, I believe, are going to come together. And I thought, you know, when the pandemic started, I mean, we have Fox News is a real problem in the United States, and the way that people get their information. I thought, if this doesn't penetrate the bubble, you know, the people dying has to get through. And it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't penetrate the bubble. We still have, you know, this is 2 years on. We've got this whole convoy there refusing to wear masks. We've got people here who have politicized it and made it into a thing. And it's insane, because it's just exacerbating the problem. And if everybody just got the damn vaccine when they were supposed to, things would be much better, you know, in this country. Yeah. I think Canada has handled it better than we have, but people are now, you know, Biden came in, made sure everybody could get the vaccine. People refused to get the vaccine, and they're like, Biden hasn't gotten rid of COVID yet. Well, what's he supposed to do? You know, if you won't get the damn
vaccine. I really worry about a lot of this crazy bullshit has been carried across into the developing world by, you know, Pentecostal types and other shitheads. And, you know, getting vaccine uptake when they finally get a chance to have the vaccine, I think is going to be another problem. And, you know, I have friends who are fairly sort of well plugged into pretty high levels of government who are, you know, what their biggest worry is that the next variant is the one that's going to cause mass death. You know, the one that's going to put people into slit trenches. And there's no reason why it wouldn't be. I mean, I hope it's not going to be the case. But as long as this thing is out there, is floating around, is has the opportunity to mutate, it can mutate into anything. We were lucky with Omicron that it was very contagious, but not quite as deadly. The next one may not be quite as contagious and much more deadly. And, you know, we're going to have to get our shit together on this thing at some point. And you know, for the Trump people to turn around and make vaccines a political issue was just so obscene. And it's been picked up here, of course. I mean, there are people who have, you know, beliefs, like real honest to God beliefs about vaccines, right? Like, there are people on the left, there are naturopaths, there are yoga teachers. My sister's a yoga teacher. So the yoga teachers are hugely anti-vaccine.
Yeah. We've got, you know, that here too.
So we got all that stuff. And there are people who have been consistently anti-vax for years. And I don't believe they're right. But at least they, you know, you can say, well, you know, we can expect that. It's the people who never really gave a thought to vaccine who are now totally whipped up. You know, who are not part of the same maybe 5% that would never have got vaccinated no matter what, and who in the States now are, what, 30% of Americans aren't vaccinated. We have a vaccination rate that's about 10-15% higher than America's. I read the New York Times stats all the time. It goes state by state, and it just depends on where you are in the different states. Ottawa has a vaccination rate of 90%. We've never had a serious COVID death problem in Ottawa. We maybe have one now with these guys. Yeah, it's, you know, when you look at what the opportunity was for America and to see that missed. And then when you go and you look at studies that show that the counties that had the highest voting support for Trump also had the highest death rates for COVID.
Yep.
You know, it's like how many times do you have to like tell people the stuff? Though it's like talking to, you know, like talking to a Manson girl, I guess. I mean, you know, it's just like
it's a cult. It's a death cult. You know, it has become a death cult, and you know, for whatever reason, you know, the pendulum has swung in that direction, and it's very hard to stop it once it's going. You know,
and one last stat, and I was trying to remember it. America has had what is it, 800,000 COVID deaths now?
That we know of. I mean, it's probably the real number is probably about 1 million would be my guess.
Yeah. So, but we'll be generous and give them the 800,000 number.
Yeah.
So the American population is almost exactly 10% of 10 times Canada's population. You've had 800,000 deaths with 400 million people. We've had 35,000 deaths with 40 million people. So our death rate is like per capita far less than half of yours. What did we do? Not a lot. Sometimes you can't go to the bar. Sometimes you can't go to the restaurant. You're doing drive-through at McDonald's instead of going in to get your. It's not Wuhan in February, March of 2020. What else have we had to do? Mandatory masking. Well, yeah. You know, people are giving away masks. Don't get too close to people. Don't have big parties when there's a COVID wave. People got together between waves and, you know, it kind of worked out. You know, it's basically just don't be stupid. That was it. Like, it wasn't, you know, the time of, oh, lockdowns. One guy told me this was the biggest violation of human rights in world history. And I said, you don't know a fucking thing about world history. You've got to be out of your mind, you know. You should go to Beijing and say that and just see what a violation of a human right looks like, because you're going to start having them. And I hope that you have a nice liver, because someone's going to really enjoy it. you know, it's just insane that people even go to places like that.
You know, you were saying before about the moral crisis and asking when this started. And I don't know when it started, but one of the moments I think here, at least in the U.S., was post 9/11, when President Bush, you know, there was this feeling of unity and coming together and people wanting to do things to help the situation. And Bush said, all we need to do is just keep shopping. And they did the tax cuts. And I think that, you know, whenever a nation is at war, there is a sense of shared sacrifice to pull together and win the war and endure, or at least endure the horrors of the war and get through it. And he made it so that this generation, you know, my generation, frankly, and the ones younger, there just isn't any of that. You know, there isn't that kind of thing. And that since that time has metastasized into something more selfish and more just me, to the point where now we have people blaring horns 24/7 to wake up, you know, old people and the mentally ill for no reason at all, and someone that you know saying that wearing a fucking mask is a human rights violation, because you know there's no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah,
I wonder if maybe democracy hasn't asked enough of people.
Yeah,
you know, people aren't involved in political campaigns. You have lobbyists and strategists who run them now. The grassroots is only expected to write a check, you know, maybe make a few calls from a phone bank on election day. If people could really be engaged in the democratic process and feel like they had something to offer, like in a town meeting or something, it felt like they were being heard, maybe this would help too. Maybe the creation of a, you know, class of full-time political operatives and lifelong politicians has left 99.999% of North Americans disconnected from democratic institutions. Then maybe my praise of democracy shouldn't go as far as to say, well, our institutions are doing well. Because I know very few young people who have any desire to be involved in politics. And even if they did, there's no sort of entry for them to do that, right? There's this feeling with gerrymandered seats. with like our problem in Canada, I believe, is lobbyists who are also political strategists who give advice to political parties and actually run campaigns and then go back to lobbying. It's a big problem in Canada. I think that has squeezed a lot of people out. I feel like if I wanted to become involved in politics now, I'm probably too old to be a candidate. It would be nice to do something, but I don't know what either. You know, the mayor of Ottawa is a guy who went to journalism school and then spent his entire life as a political staffer and then a politician. And we're getting this kind of class of people. We have, you know, I had a problem with Justin Trudeau being prime minister because I don't like the idea of sons of blank being,
right,
you
right.
know, George Bush Jr. Kind of stuff, like the Kennedy thing, why John Jr. was any more qualified to be president than anybody else. Yeah. We don't want to have a hereditary class of people running so-called democracies the way we've had running media for so long.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things I think we really need to take a look at too, without actually having, you know, fighting in the streets over it, which, you know, when I see people talking about guns, I mean, I know exactly who they're for, right? I know who's going to hold them and who's going to be aimed at. And, you know, we saw that with that moron kid that shot those three people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Rittenhouse.
And now he's a big hero, and now they're talking about, like, getting his, you know, the cops destroyed his gun so he couldn't sell it to make money off it. I mean, you know, how dare they talk about morality?
Yeah. Oh, it's true. To your point about the political classes, the other problem is that politicians are so under the microscope, and everything that they do or say or anything that they've ever done can be dredged up, and it's unpleasant to live that way. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people who would otherwise consider running for office will not run for office because of that, because they don't want to put their families through this bullshit. I mean, these people are mean. The right-wing people especially are fucking mean. And you know, why do you want to... I mean, Hillary Clinton, you know, I'm a big fan of Hillary Clinton, but, like, you know, people aren't, that's fine. But the amount of vitriol she has absorbed in her life has to be the most that anyone ever has ever in the history of time, I think. And, you know, when you think about just the concentrated, constant, you know, it's almost like radiation that she has to walk around with this hazmat suit on, figuratively speaking. And I think that's an issue, too.
Yeah, and for the rest of her life, she'll never ever be a free person. She's like Prince Harry, you know. And of course, women in politics get a whole other vein we can open here too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, and everybody has something. Probably, I know I do. Actually, I'm trying to think of so many of them. But in all seriousness. One of the things that we need to do too is learn how to forgive people and learn how to accept the fact that people do fuck up and people do change.
Yes.
And so that people's lives aren't destroyed in one day on Twitter. I think there are lots and lots of people who've said, I certainly have said things and done things in my life that if exposed on Twitter would probably cause me a huge amount of, I wouldn't say problems or lose my career, but certainly cause me a lot of embarrassment. And that there are people who make a living digging this shit up on people.
Yeah.
I'm all in favor of you know, you get a Weinstein or an Epstein or a Woody Allen type and, you know, no problem. But some guy who said something stupid as a college student when they were drunk or, I don't know, or even people's personal affairs.
Yeah,
you know, those are things that should be settled within a family. Now that's something I've never done, but you know, when you see like Elliot Spitzer, that was an interesting case because it was consensual sex with a hooker, right?
Right.
And this guy loses his job over that. Well, that was really something that his wife should have, like, either decided to stay with him or not. Maybe kicked his ass if she, you know, I think she should have got like one freebie from the legal system if she had smacked him upside the head or kicked him in the ass. These are things that I think sometimes go a little bit too far. And, you know, I wish it was perfect. I wish Al Franken was perfect, you know? I wish a whole bunch of people were perfect, but they're not. And then you got people like Donald Trump who are walking felonies in progress. I mean, that's guilty. Now you can go through the criminal code and try and find the things he's not guilty of. I don't know if we still got witchcraft on the books in the States.
I'm not sure he hasn't done that.
Yeah, treason, yeah. Mm-hmm. Incitement to murder, yeah.
Yeah.
Theft, certainly. And then there's all like the seven deadly sins and the, you know, the Ten Commandments and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yet these guys, like these psychopaths like Johnson, you know, the chronic liar, beautiful Jonathan Pye piece on the New York Times webpage on the weekend about what a phenomenal liar Boris Johnson is. The guy lies like a rug. He's just a complete pig, and yet, you know, he's there, right? And then you've got somebody, I don't know, maybe some author who will have written some stupid piece of shit years ago and pull it up, and the guy gets his book deal. Yeah, you know, like it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. There's a double standard, to be sure. And, you know, but maybe it's like what you say, like this is a time when we are going to reflect when this is over, when this period of time is over, and look back on, you know, what we really need, what do we want from our democracy, what we want from our politicians, what we want from our social media, what we want from each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it all needs to be reexamined, I think. And I think one thing we can agree on is that if you're a truck driver, you shouldn't just park on the street in the capital city for 10 days blaring on your horn and pissing on a goddamn war memorial. I mean, you know, these people, they're the same people that came into the U.S. Capitol and literally rubbed their own shit on the wall. You know,
right.
That's their, who are they? Are they, that's what animals in a zoo do. This is not the way functional humans are supposed to behave.
95% of Canadian truckers are out there working today.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of Canadian truckers are vaccinated. It's not, you know, it's not the truckers. It's something else. And it still doesn't have a good name. I mean, Trumpism comes close, but these are the angry people, some of whom have trucks. But when I was around there Saturday, it was mostly the kind of people who show up for like big free parties, right? People with flags draped around their neck, various things like, you know, Confederate flags, swastikas, whatever. Don't tread on me flags for the revolution that we took a pass on. It's not, you know, I feel bad for all those truckers who are the vast majority, and it's going to be like, well, I'd hate to see someone start shit talking lawyers because of the actions of a bad few. I suppose it could happen.
Oh, that's good. So we're almost out of time. Do you have any closing thoughts about the truckers or democracy or Canada or anything you would like to impart before we go?
Yeah, I think most people are decent people. I think that the squeaky wheel does get the grease. It'd be nice to see it get greased, but it does get the grease. And when decent people, Harry Truman had ideas about the American people having this sort of inherent wisdom that sometimes is sort of latent, but it's always there. And then when it's needed, it seems to rise up and solve problems. And I hope that that's the case. I believe that we have something like that in Canada. We see it in our politics a lot more these days than America does. I think in the end, this trucker protest will dribble away. It's going to be warm. Boy, I'm such a Canadian. It's going to go up to 32 degrees this week. So it's fucking balmy this week here. It was down to about 10 below. And I'm talking Fahrenheit here. I have to do the translation, right? And some of them still stayed out there. So they're going to have the benefit of warm weather. But I think the fact they can't honk and the fact they're being sued and some police work to keep them from getting fuel will start to strangle the snake. And I think that they will eventually leave. And I think what the Canadian government has done by and large of not engaging with them and refusing the mayor of Ottawa's idea to negotiate with or without a mediator is the right thing to do. So I think the sort of will putt along, and then the Canadians will sit back and they'll hope the Americans notice this again, because we're just so, you know, we just want to be loved, and we want to be we want to be something like Americans, but we want to be somehow nicer and better, which is a whole crock that we can get into some other time.
Well, Mark Burry, thanks so much for taking the time. Where can we find you? You're on Twitter. It's just your name, right? At Mark Burry.
Yeah, at Mark Burry, because I don't need anonymity. I'm already fucked. And and I'm in Ottawa. If you're ever in trouble, and I write books. I wrote a book about Pierre Radisson, which is basically a look at early capitalism, called Bushrunner: The Adventures of Pierre Radisson. And I am working on a book about a fascist Canadian newspaper publisher who wanted to be dictator during the 30s. So, which will have no interest to Americans at all, but it's another one of my little shots at fascism. So
that's good.
The Radisson book is something you guys in the States read, because he actually spent most of his time in the States, and he's a riot. He's just, the whole thing is written totally tongue in cheek about this whacked out little explorer. Who bounces from one adventure to another.
Well, I'll put the link on the show notes so yeah, people can go take a look. So
it won a prize and made me big piles of money. So
that's good. We as a fellow writer, I always like to hear people winning prizes and collecting money, because it happens so infrequently.
I know. And right at COVID, the right when COVID hit. So I just rented a cottage out way out in the sticks. And it was March, and I just watched by the side of the lake as a tree, and watched the birds just keep coming, wave after wave of birds and stuff, and took it easy through that first go around. So that was the prize for me.
Excellent, Mark Burry. Thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
The Prevail theme song is by Matthew Fassa. Sophia Tereshenko provided the Russian introduction. Voice talent is provided by Tally Briggs, Signet Della, Stephanie St. John, Brett Petticord, Ryan Byrne at History Falls Apart, and me. Thanks to Allison Gill, Molly Hawkey, Kanai Williams, and everyone else at MSW Media. Please subscribe to the Prevail website with updates every Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. Your $5 monthly subscription funds the site and the podcast. Visit gregoliar.com to learn more. Thanks for listening. Drive safely. Don't forget to tip your server. Until next time, we shall prevail.
MSW Media.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.